Higher Human Performance, episode 243. I may not be the best fork in the drawer, but I'm your favorite fork. Higher Human Performance, the podcast. We'll do it next. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here. You can find the show notes by going to higherhumanperformance.com. In the search bar, just type the number 243 and you'll find it. I've been helping small business owners with content marketing for over 5 years now. I've written thousands, consequently millions. You may not get that. Here in Dallas, Deion Sanders, I don't know, there he said it. It was funny. Thousands, consequently millions. I have written thousands, consequently millions of words on behalf of clients. Video, podcasting, using Google Hangouts on air, blogging, email marketing, social media marketing. It's all that and more. And I've yet to meet a small business owner that doesn't want everything. And right now, the conversations are pretty funny, actually. They'll say to me, I need everything. Oh, only everything? And yes, they say it. They say it repeatedly. They say it constantly. Yes, I need everything. I need everything. And of course, when you need everything, well, what's the time component? Well, it's got to be now. It's like a buddy of mine. He once asked me if I would send him everything I had on leadership. Oh, man, he texted me, quote, send me everything you've got on leadership. I replied, just everything. Could you be more vague? So then he calls me on the phone. He's laughing, and he repeats his request, jokingly. But that's how it is for most of us. When we want something, not quite knowing what we want, we make these declarations that we want everything. The Higher Human Performance monthly short courses, free, by the way, these short courses won't be everything, but they'll be something. Well, actually, they'll be something else. The world is full of paradoxes. We have a short attention spans. Well, that's what the experts tell us. And to be fair, non-experts, they too tell us that we have a short attention span. And yet some bloggers, they will tell you that their most popular blog posts are those that just, you just keep scrolling and scrolling. And it's like, if you were to print this post out and put it on the floor, it'd be 11 feet long. You know, those posts where they dive deeply into a subject using thousands, consequently millions of words and illustrations. 3-minute inane videos on YouTube give way to 20-minute killer TED Talks. 5-minute podcasts may not fare nearly as well as the hour-long episode. Who'd have thunk it? There is a place for long-form content. And there's a place for the quick tip. And I am probably like you. I enjoy all of it. Well, I enjoy it if it resonates enough with me to be interesting. People want easy, not short. Some things are easy, other things not so much. I think most of us, operating in an advice-giving capacity, we hate it when people aren't willing to put in the effort or the work. Do you feel that way? They want to ride on our back of knowledge and experience, and so they ask us to just hand over to them everything in this neat little package that's very easily consumed. Oh, and by the way, make it easy for me to execute it as well. They're the same people who rushed out to buy Cliff Notes the night before the reading assignment was due, refusing to read the book, spending more time looking for shortcuts instead of doing the work. It's not about fast-tracking, so I want to be properly understood here. It's not about, as Dave Jackson of the School of Podcasting says, flattening out the learning curve. No, that's great. It's about being lazy, at least for quite a few. For others, I think they honestly just don't know where to begin, and they really don't know what to ask, and so they ask for everything. They don't mean They really don't mean that. It just simply means I'm clueless. And some people have even sat across from me and said so. Now, I have a lot more tolerance for them than I do the person who's just not willing to do the work, and they want everything handed to them on a platter. You know the person. Person that's not willing to even go to Google or YouTube for an answer because they can just pick up the phone and call you. Are you an advice giver? Do you show people how to do something? Then you've likely done what I have done, and if you haven't, you should, and tell people that they have two terrific online resources and friends, Google and YouTube. And yes, even that takes some time and some work. I'd love to tell you that I alone can be your end-all, be-all. I'd even be satisfied to tell you that there is somebody out there who could be your end-all, be-all, but I can't. Not only can I not tell you I'm not that person, maybe, but there may not be such a person. Because it depends on what you're wanting to do. It depends on where you are. It depends on your present constraints and challenges, and it also depends on your current level of knowledge and expertise. Maybe one of the toughest challenges any of us have is finding somebody in the area of expertise we most need, somebody who is really good, but the world is full of self-proclaimed gurus, and it can be tough for us to find the right one, just the right one. And this is especially true in crowded spaces filled with so many experts, well, so-called experts. I'm thinking of search engine optimization, SEO. It seems to me to be such a space. And I confess, I have invested way too much money in a variety of SEO experts and mostly found little or no reward in it. I mean, for starters, I'm about as interested in Major League Baseball, and we're in the playoffs of those right now, I'm about as interested in Major League Baseball as I am SEO. By the way, I'm not interested in Major League Baseball in one little bit. I'll watch. We get to this time of the year, and admittedly, I'm going to watch a game or two. And as we get to, you know, the pennant races and the World Series, sure. Yeah, I'm going to tune in then. But, you know, to say that I'm up on the sport, no. I can't even tell you that I got a working knowledge of Major League Baseball. Now, that's my problem. That's not the fault of the experts. The other issue for me is it seems a bit like gaming the system. And years ago, I figured Google's entire future would hinge on making sure people couldn't game the system. And guess what? I was right, because I'm sitting here looking at Google as a business. I'm not looking at Google as a search engine. And I'm thinking, you know, if everybody could game the system and the search results could be gamed so easily, then seems to me Google's value won't really be what they need it to be if they're going to make a viable go of this. And guess what? I was right. And it's not because I'm a genius. Well, when you feel like I do, it just sort of takes the motivation out of really diving in deep and becoming an SEO expert, don't you think? And I'm smart enough to know that SEO is worthwhile, but I'm also smart enough to know that there are a few people in that space who actually do pay attention to it and who are worthy of me paying attention to. But mostly I'm smart enough to know that I really don't much care. Which many people, by the way, would tell me is stupid, and it probably is, but, you know, it is what it is. We are who we are. We like what we like. We hate what we hate. There are other spaces, though, and there could be a clearer leader in the field or leaders in the field. My friend who asked me for everything I've got on leadership, by the way, he is a big fan of John Maxwell. Well, he's in good company, including me. I mean, John Maxwell is a clear leader in the field of leadership. That's ironic, isn't it? Hey, buddy, are you a leader? Yes, I'm a leader. What are you a leader in? Leadership. I mean, does it get any better than that? No, I don't think so. There are tons of others now, but for many, John Maxwell is the man. Okay. The other day, I was consulting with a solopreneur who was in a professional services space, and increasingly, that is a space I find myself serving more and more. These are people who have tremendous skills and know-how, and they often struggle with incorporating the building blocks that are necessary to create consistently good workflows and processes that will result in predictable success. And so I come across a number of these people who great month, bad month. Great quarter, bad quarter. All the business I can handle one quarter, chasing my tail the next. Additionally, too many of them aren't fond of marketing, which is really understandable because, well, they've got so much time and so much money invested in learning their craft, in doing what they do. And they mostly want to do what they do. In fact, most of them would rather do what they do than sell what they do. Well, as I'm visiting with a solopreneur, I find myself for the umpteenth time encouraging him to loosen up a little bit, and relax a little bit, especially with your online persona. We talk about why that's difficult for him, and like so many other service professionals, he says people want professional and qualified, and so he rambles on about credentials and association memberships and other things that I'm sure have value, but he's missing the point. Personality, attractiveness. And so I take our conversation beyond the mere qualifications of people because in his space, people make some strong and mostly correct assumptions about being qualified. And so I ask him, so you're telling me that people do business with you solely and only based on the fact that you're the most qualified blank they can find? No, I wasn't calling him a cuss word. It was his space. No, but it's important, he says. Okay, well, how important, I ask. I mean, if that's not the sole or only reason why people select you, then what else factors into their decision? I don't know. Recommendations, I guess. Okay, now he's clearly shadow boxing with no idea who the opponent might be. And what's the basis of the recommendation, I ask? I did a good job for whoever recommended me. Okay, he thinks he's got the correct answer now. Of course, this is not a test. Well, it sort of is. Do any of us recommend people who do poor work, I ask? Well, no, of course not. So good work or competent work is a bare minimum for what we require as customers and clients, right? Yeah, right, he says. Do you have some place that changes the oil in your car? Yeah, of course he does, he says. Have you ever recommended these people to your friends? I don't know. I don't think so. Why not? Well, they're right by my office, and I just don't think about it. Bingo, you don't think about it. You don't think about them. You take their competence for granted. You assume they know what they're doing because they're in that business. They change oil. It's one of those quick car places. What would they have to do, I ask him, for you to recommend them? I don't know. I haven't thought about it. What if you got to know the manager or the owner? What if the manager or the owner knew you by name? What if every now and again they asked you if you had time for a free wash and vacuuming on the house? Would any of those things make them stand out? Of course. Any of those, he says, would make them stand out. And if they did all three, would that just blow you away, I wonder? Well, yes, he said. Honestly, he says, I'd be blown away if they just were a bit more polite. And yet you still take your car there because they're competent and close by your office, but you don't think to recommend them. Knowing the manager, knowing the owner, has not got one thing to do with changing oil. Neither does washing or vacuuming a car. But if we stake on a few subtle but personal things, suddenly they're worth talking about. I may not be the best fork in the drawer, but I'm your favorite fork. Some years ago, when our son was still single and living at home, he was preparing to move out of town for an excursion we had hoped he would not take. It's a long story, with details that aren't important, except for the fact that my wife packed up some silverware to give him to take with him. It was an everyday set of eatingware that contained my favorite variety of forks. Yes, I am a fork snob. The tines on these forks, they were just right for my liking. I had no idea she had given these to him. Until one day after he was gone, I went looking for a fork. And I found one, just one. Had to rifle through the drawer for one. What happened to all the forks, I asked. I gave Ryan that set of silverware, she said. So I'm left with this one fork that somehow got left behind? I guess he forgot one. Well, I can't tell you how pleased I was to have at least one. I still have it, by the way. It's in the drawer with the other forks. But my wife knows me well enough to know that if that fork is clean, I want that fork. I mean, it's a fork. How important is a fork's style, you're wondering? I can hear you asking the question. Very important. It's very important to me. We're attracted to what we're attracted to. I don't know why necessarily. My first girlfriend in first grade was blonde, and in spite of the reputation to be ditzy, I've been a lifelong fan of smart blondes. My first girlfriend was the smartest girl in the class, who happened to be a blonde. Ditto for my wife. Well, okay, she's reddish blonde, but I kind of like redheads too. The point is, I don't know why my first girlfriend was blonde. I do know why she was smart. I'm no fool, but some guys like girls who aren't so smart. From music to films to TV shows to food to colors, we like what we like. I hate sushi. I'm not a fan of fried chicken or beets. We hate what we hate. Find something I love and I'll find somebody who hates it. Find something I hate and I'll find somebody who loves it. My view isn't likely to change their opinion any more than they're likely to change mine. And as the sign in my office says, it is what it is. My daughter bought me that. Because I say it so much. You're either attracted to my style and substance or you're not. And more substance isn't likely to alter your view. That doesn't mean I'm not learning stuff, and it doesn't mean I'm not getting better at what I do all the time. I am. I take my work to help people seriously. I just don't take myself all that seriously. And if you don't like that, there's the door. Oh, wait a minute. There's a button. There's a button somewhere on this page, up at the top probably. Close it and forget me forever. I won't be offended, I promise you. Because you may feel toward me like I feel toward beets. You know, there's nothing possible to make me like beets. Everything about them offends me. The color, the smell, the taste, the texture, the name, beets. The free Higher Human Performance Monthly Short Course. For years, listeners, readers, and casual observers have noticed something about me. I wasn't selling anything. Well, I was, but not to them. My work historically has been face-to-face, personal, one-on-one. Selling has been direct and physical, not virtual. I know. Makes no sense for a guy who's been producing online content since about 1999, but that's the truth. And I'm about to change all that very soon if I can. But first, I'm ready to step up my game in the freemium area. Email newsletters, ebooks, reports, videos, all those ethical bribes that people use to get you onto their list. I've never worked at any of those. I've always felt like asking you to listen or to read the content was pretty awesome enough, and it just seemed rude to ask you for more, even though I've had opt-in boxes at the site for some time. And honestly, until now, I never cared if you opted in or not, and so as a result, most of you did not. And that makes sense to me. I mean, why should you care if I don't? You shouldn't. Well, today I do care. I care because I'm preparing some short course. Well, let me qualify. Some short email courses, and I'm talking 20-minute max audios and single emails. I'm not talking a series of emails. I'm talking one email. No, they're not designed to go in depth and teach you everything. They're mostly designed to make you use the greatest tool you've got, your brain. I want to help you think more clearly, with greater hope and belief. I want to be your favorite fork. I know there are plenty of forks out there fully capable of being a fork, just like me. Maybe even better than me technically, but not better than me at having you feel the way you feel when I'm the one serving you. I don't feel the same about a meal that I have to eat with my least favorite fork. I enjoy the same food much, much more with my favorite fork in hand. That's how I want to be for you. If that's the case, if I am your favorite fork, I want you to join the email list so I can send you the monthly short courses. And for now, that's all I want in return for this dazzling content I've been giving you for free for a long time. If you sign up, you will get some other cool stuff that I have been giving folks for a while because, you know, I'm not going to go change all that. I mean, come on, I got some systems in place and you're going to get a free video and you're going to get a free audio and you're going to get some stuff. And it's all great stuff. But once the honeymoon is over and you've been sent that stuff, I'm proud of that stuff now. But at the end, maybe not at the end of each month, but sometime every month, I'm going to do my best to send you something pertaining to higher human performance that I hope will help you. I'll be leaning on you for feedback to improve these, by the way, as we move forward. And I will expect you to tell me if what I give you, if it sucks. Because my mandate is always the same, you know, suck less. isn't that your mandate? That really is all I'm going to ask at this point. I do have some announcements to share with you in the days to come. Morphing some things, working with some ideas, pivoting, iterating, trying a few plan B's and C's. And as I told a friend the other day, I think I'm up to plan G. G stands for guh. I don't know where you're at, but I'd kind of like to know. I would love for you to use the contact page over at the website and shoot me an email. You can even send me a voicemail if you choose to. Not many people do, but I'd love to hear from you in your own words. That'd be pretty awesome. In your own voice. There is a send voicemail button over at the website. The website, by the way, it's all one and the same. The company name is Bula Network, B-U-L-A. Fiji term means life is good. I think it is. And there you have it. HigherHumanPerformance.com takes you to the same place. Use the contact form. Send me an email. Let me know what you think. Mostly, opt in. I want to send you the free Higher Human Performance monthly short courses. And your feedback will help me make those better. That's it from here. Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. My name, Randy Cantrell. All kinds of ways that you can connect with me and interact with me, mostly through social media. Those icons can be found over at the website, higherhumanperformance.com. This is the Yellow Studio.